I am done with Josh. He's an alcoholic. He's a user. He's a douchebag. He has issues. He has problems. He's a cheater and he's scandalous. And I hope he goes to prison and jail because he deserves it.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
You know, there's probably a few whiz bangers in there that were like, yeah, I agree with you, Brian. But I would imagine most people are not that way. You know, those people are long since gone. Those people have died. Yeah. They died in the 80s. So yet another place I have to go and explain myself. And that doesn't always feel good. Sometimes I do wish I had a normal job where I just didn't have to explain myself. I meet other dads and they're like, you know, yeah, I own a bike shop or yeah, I'm in the elevator business or whatever they do. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. Tell me more about it so I can pretend like I do that next time I meet somebody.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning! Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you, including my mother, who now listens to the show, apparently.
Oh, that's right.
If you're listening closely to The Commercial Break, then you will know that my mom and her friends around the senior citizens' home table have discovered a way to listen to The Commercial Break. They've found it.
After
they also,
5 years.
Yes. They discovered. Someone was young enough at the table to know right. What a podcast was. Either that or they listened to a lot of Fox News on podcasts. One of the two. My mom left Astrid a message, which was embedded into the beginning of the show, the clips that we do, the bits at the beginning. That was that I cut up and embedded into the show, where my mom explained to Astrid that the girls at the table had been wondering for a while where was the show? How could they find it? Where was it? And so, even though I've never given my mom the name of the... I mean, she must know The Commercial Break's name, because yeah. The kids even say it. But I've never given her any directions on how to find it, because quite frankly, I don't need her to find
right.
it. I don't need my mom to listen to the show. I can tell her what we're doing. I don't need her to listen to the show. Hi, Brian, it's your mom. Hi, Mom, what you doing? Oh, just sitting around, staring at your show. I'm trying to tune it in on the radio. Okay, Mom, talk to you later. Bye. Call you 5 minutes from now for no reason. Okay, Mom. Talk to you later. She told Astrid that the girls at the table had been wondering how they found the show. How would they listen to the show? And then they Googled my name and found it. And then my mom leaves in the message that they also found out that we were the top podcast in our area. That's how my mom said it.
They also discovered that Brian's the top podcast in his area.
In my area. Yeah, I am the top podcast in my area. No shit. I'm sure that
at
within,
the Starbucks you are.
Hey, listen, within a mile radius, I'm pretty sure we're the top podcast. In your area. Yes, Mom. She's so clueless. And then she said that the girls were going to get together that night and listen to the podcast. And I have not heard from my mother.
That tracks.
For clarity, my mom calls every 15 minutes. I have to purposefully mute my phone because I know my mother's going to call. I know she is during the show while we record. So, I don't know what to tell you, kids. My mom's on to us.
It's not for everyone.
I guess we all have to cut out the cussing now. We have to settle down. I feel like I'm a teenager and I've been busted in the basement,
right.
Whacking off. And now I gotta calm it down a little bit. So, funny thing is, they say they're going to get together that night and listen to the show. And it's the show that we did about studs.
Oh, right. Okay.
And the preview clip that was cut, coming up on this episode of The Commercial Break, then there's a preview clip, 30 to 45 seconds of the show that we find interesting that we put in there. And the clip is me making fun of the guy saying, we did San Diego. And I go, what is doing San Diego? What does that mean? You jizzed up against the wall? Give me $50 and I'll fuck you? So within 30 seconds of hearing the show, oh, my mom probably was like, oh, that's not him. Turn it off.
Right, exactly.
Not my Brian. He wouldn't talk like that.
Oh, it's all over. Astrid just, I was lamenting the people at Starbucks knowing about the commercial break, the people at school knowing about the commercial break, now my mom and her friends knowing how to get the commercial break. I mean, we're far from famous kids. Don't let any chart appearances or big numbers. Over 40 downloads. Don't let anything fool you. We don't get noticed on the street. No one's knocking down our door to do anything. I think the only other famous person who's ever done anything remotely nice for us was Ari Shaffir, and I think he did that because he felt bad for us.
Probably.
Yeah. So, but I'm sharing that I feel a little bit cornered. Like, the commercial break is not a normal job.
No.
It's not a normal job. As a matter of fact, it's a job that keeps you from getting a normal job.
Yes,
that's how it should be described.
That is so true.
I don't know why I think everything's so funny today, but I do. And the fact that there's not a lot of safe places where people just assume I have some normal job. I mean, I know the people at Starbucks now, they desperately want to ask me about the content of today's show, but I just keep like avoiding eye contact.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I do, because I don't, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I said the guy jizzed against the wall. I mean, what do you want me to say? I'm sure not everybody agrees with the content that we're putting out there. It's not for everybody. We're student podcasters, Chrissy. That's what we are. Student
Please
podcasters.
Be patient.
Please be patient. But now my mom knows. That's a whole different road to hoe there, because now I'm going to have to explain to her and her. I know. I go there sometimes. When we go, there's like a big dining room when you walk into these places.
As they have.
This is a cruise ship on land, mm-hmm. is basically what it is. And they have a dining room, like every cruise ship does, and they get together for three times a day to sit at an assigned table, or not necessarily assigned tables, but they tend to,
they have their tables.
Yeah, it's like
their
high school.
Usual tables.
Yeah, they group together, and sometimes, my mom moves a lot because I think people get annoyed. Or she gets annoyed. She gets annoyed easy, so she moves from table to table. And so when we go over to my mom's, she's got a very small apartment because she doesn't need a lot. And I don't like the kids, all 16 kids, to be up there because they just cause drama.
Oh, yeah.
My mom doesn't give a shit. I give a shit. There's just a lot of stuff up there mm-hmm. that I don't need. She's got medication. Oh, there's like a lot of shit that's not child-proof.
Kid-friendly.
Yeah. And so when we get together, I often say, let's do a meal. And she can rent the private dining room, which is the main dining room. Just imagine like your dining room at your house or where, your grandma's house or your parents' house. It's like a 15-foot by 10-foot room with a big table, and you just sit there. Renting it means it's yours for the hour
reserved
or two.
It.
Yeah, you reserved. And so my mom often reserves this, and then we'll go over, and there's plenty of chairs. Everyone can have fun. They can run around. But every time we go there, it's showtime at the Apollo because the kids are the youngest things these people have seen in like 6 days. And they're very excited by the youthfulness of the whole situation. And I can understand that because I am excited by the youthfulness of the situation often sometimes too. The energy is infectious. The kids are cute. We often Astrid dolls them up in nice clothing, and they're presentable, and they'll say hello and they'll twirl around. So they're like little it's entertainment for the show they put on as
little
we walk
dolls.
Yes, as we walk the 150 feet through the dining room, where we have to be stopped by every person who think the kids are cute, and that's every person at every table, except for a few ornery ones. You know, there's some ornery people.
Of course.
Now I would imagine that I'm going to get the side eye from everybody, and we're going to be shunned like pariahs. We're going to be like lepers in Jesus's time. You know, just shunned. Because most people my age don't like the commercial break. They think it's too much for them. Imagine what these 80-year-olds are thinking. It's too much for them. They're not even going to understand half the words we're saying, let alone be okay with me talking about coming and pissing and jizzing. And I'm sorry if you're eating breakfast. I apologize. I'm just
staying
gonna get all
the for 3 days.
Staying up
Coke.
For 3 days on Coke. I mean, you know, there's probably a few whiz bangers in there that were like, yeah, I agree with you, Brian. But I would imagine most people are not that way. You know, those people are long since gone. Those people have died. Yeah. They died in the 80s. So yet another place I have to go and explain myself. And that doesn't always feel good. Sometimes I do wish I had a normal job where I just didn't have to explain myself. I meet other dads and they're like, you know, yeah, I own a bike shop, or yeah, I'm in the elevator business or whatever they do. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's great. Tell me more about it so I can pretend like I do that next time I meet somebody. Give me enough information
pretend. A whole like summary of what that entails.
Yes, Chrissy, that's exactly what I want to do. Yeah, I tell you what my dream job is. My dream job, Drew Carey's job.
Yeah.
Ryan Seacrest's job. Who's the Elizabeth Banks job? That's my dream job. Honestly, $1 million a year, plenty of money in my pocket, feed the kids. I don't know if I'll be able to send them to college for that, but you know, I'll be able to feed them, house them, live comfortably, drive a car with four wheels and a whole hood. All the accoutrements that go along with being comfortable. It seems like we might need $1 million a year just to live these days, and get to go into the studio, work like maybe 100 days a year, knock out a couple episodes of Price is Right or whatever it is, and mosey on with life. Because I guarantee, and I know this for a fact, that Drew Carey doesn't get harangued by thrones of adoring fans. Have you ever seen anyone? Have you ever met anyone that's like, oh my God, Drew Carey? If I could just meet Drew Carey.
Yeah.
No one says that. He's the guy from The Price is Right and that show that one time was popular.
Whose line is it anyway?
That's right. Very talented guy. Seems very affable. I've met him. He has breakfast at the same diner every morning. Met him at a diner. Mel's Diner, I think is what it's called, up in the hills of, Hollywood Hills or whatever it is. He has breakfast, same breakfast every morning. At least he did back then. And this was just when he got the job with The Price is Right. And he was just super nice, super affable, reading his newspaper. Very nice guy. There was no one, and I mean no one, that was bothering the guy. You want to know why? Because he's the guy from The Price is Right and no one cares. Now, I'm the guy from the commercial break and no one cares. But that seems like my perfect job because I'm in entertainment. I get to express that creativity. But they give me the cue cards. I just have to read it. Inject a little bit of personality, meet some friendly faces, and then be on with my day.
Family friendly, not talking about jizz.
No, I mean, if I could throw a jizz in there every once in a while, if I could get a tit pick every once in a while in The Price is Right, I would do that. But I don't have to. I don't have to. If I had to go work for Disney and do one of those silly, game shows, I'd do it. I look at that Ryan Seacrest. And now he's got iHeartRadio wrapped into that Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, he's really
making probably $20 million a year all that he
really
does.
He went far from a place here in Atlanta.
A little place here in Atlanta called Backstreet. If you know, you know. IKYNTDY. Yes. No, I don't know that to be true. That's all rumor. It's all rumor and speculation from his ex-boyfriend. So Ryan Seacrest, who's very talented, by the way.
Yeah,
I mean,
is.
you have to be talented and smart and have your head on your shoulders to maneuver a 30-plus-year career in the entertainment business from being like a local, drive-time DJ who wasn't particularly good at what he did. He parlayed that into an immense amount of success and money. An empire. He now runs Dick Clark Productions. He owns it, I think. So he does the New Year's Eve. He does the radio show. He does American Idol. Mm-hmm. He does Wheel of Fortune. He was doing, remember like Kelly and Ryan for a while? And remember during the pandemic, he had like a stroke or something on air,
That's right.
Yeah. He had to take a couple days off. He called it exhaustion. Everyone else thought it was a stroke because it looked like a stroke.
I think he was involved with the Kardashian show.
He was the executive producer of the Kardashians. He brought it to E! And he said, you got to put these people on TV. They're highly entertaining. And, this one who just did the sex tape, she's got a whole family of sex tapes behind her. Yes. So you guys got to get on this. And so he's the genius, essentially. He's the genius and the genius behind the Kardashians, which, like them, don't like them. They are the most famous people on earth.
They really are.
And besides Taylor Swift and a couple of others, I mean, they're the most famous people on earth. And Ryan, I think, has a lot to do with that, or at least foretelling what was to come. Mm-hmm. He certainly had his finger on the pulse in that moment. He knew what the public wanted and he sold it to him. And it seems like at every turn, he kind of knows that. Now, why is he doing Wheel of Fortune? I'm not sure. It seems like an odd move, but maybe he felt like, I want to be in people's living rooms every day in this family-friendly way, which has always been his style. Like, even in American Idol, he's never been particularly edgy, even when he was a radio disc jockey on a play on a radio station called Star 94, which was like light pop rock, like nothing offensive, no hard rock, none of that. Top 40 hits, essentially.
Top 40 for sure.
He's always been family friendly. He's always gone that direction.
He looks good. He sounds good. You know, he's intelligent. He can read the cue cards.
He can read. Right. I can do that too. Listen, he has multi-platformed himself right into a billion-dollar business. And I don't argue with it a bit. I say, good for you, Ryan. He's dated some of the most beautiful women on earth. He was dating that girl from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, Juliana
Juliana Huff.
That's right.
Who, by the way, is one of the best-smelling human beings I have ever met in my entire life. I met her at a New Year's Eve party, and she was... You could smell her across the room. She smelled like a bundle of daisies wrapped in vanilla, wrapped in really good smelling perfume. I mean, it was just amazing how good she smelled. But a beautiful woman also.
Absolutely.
Now she's doing Dancing with the Stars. Now she's like one of the hosts of Dancing with the Stars. But anyway, I digress back to Ryan. He's really done it for himself. I would absolutely take that career in a heartbeat if I didn't have to work as hard. If I could do like... a tenth of what Ryan does and make the same money, I'm in. But otherwise, I decline the offer. I decline the job. I want to go Drew Carey's route. Drew doesn't need all the extra accoutrements. He doesn't need to be in a radio studio every morning. He doesn't feel like he has to.
He's talking about mug warmers and incense holders.
That's it. Today I was watching him. I know.
When I walked in the studio here. Yeah, it was on. And I thought it was funny because they were like, and how much does this mug warmer cost? And here's a handmade incense holder.
They have the shittiest like, prizes. What? I know. And they're like, a new car from 2019. Hyundai Electron. The Hyundai Electron has been discontinued, but it's new to you right now. Yes. How much does it cost? Pick the four numbers. 3500. That's correct. And you have to pay $7,000 in taxes to bring it home. I was watching him do a game, and it was like, you know, the lady was about to win a new car, which wasn't a particularly fancy car, but okay, a car is a car. You win a car. And she has to pick the number. They give her the middle number, and then there's four other numbers, two and two. She has to pick the first two. She has to pick the last two. She gets four chances to do this. And she's picking a number. She's like 75, and he's like, that's the year I graduated high school. Like, really mundane, innate conversation. Yes, that's not particularly funny, but not particularly offensive.
Yeah.
He's using his improv skills to no good. But I will share that this is the job. This is the way you want to go. Be that guy. Mm-hmm. Or Elizabeth Banks on No Whammies. What's that show? Press Your Luck?
Mm-hmm.
Press Your Luck. That's what I want to do. Press Your Luck. Wheel of Fortune, not Jeopardy. I'm not smart enough for that. I know those Jeopardy people are really, they're pretty picky about who they want leading that charge. And Brian's not going to fit that bill. But any of those other ones where it's like dumb games that anybody can play, the everyman game, I would be, I think, an excellent candidate.
I think so, too.
That.
And talking about the prices, right? I've always wanted to spin that wheel.
Me too.
You know, and I wonder if when the camera's not rolling, people are, you know, hanging out late night.
Smoking weed, getting drunk and spinning the wheel, having contests. Does it make that noise when you're not on TV? Yeah. Does someone have to flick a button to make that noise? I would be curious about all of it. What I listened to, somebody was talking to Vanna White's brother, who briefly had a late night talk show in the 90s that he was trying to.
Everybody's briefly had a late night talk show.
So listen to this. He's trying to sell the show. Right. And he is a coked out drunk. And he admitted this is something he said, not something I'm assuming. This is something he said. I had a problem with drugs. I had a problem with alcohol. And so he got some famous people to show up in his backyard. He built a set in his backyard. So it's outdoors. He's doing a monologue. I've never heard something less funny unless it was an episode of the commercial break. Never, never. It sounds like our first three episodes. It's just terrible. Terrible. He's running around Hollywood trying to sell this like everybody was back in the 90s. Everyone wanted a talk show. So I, through this thing I was listening to, this podcast I was listening to, I found a link on YouTube I watched it. It's some of the worst television I've ever seen. But the host asked, and I can't remember which podcast this was where I shouted out. The host asked the Vanna White's brother, "Hey, how many times have you been to the set? 100? More than 100?" He says, "Oh, probably 100, maybe a little bit more.
To
the Wheel of Fortune set."
Okay, yeah.
How many times you spin the wheel? "I never spun the wheel." He said, "You never took a spin on the wheel." He's like, "You know, honestly, I never thought about it." And it's like, isn't that the first thing you would think about doing? Yes. Right? You go to press your luck. You want to see a whammy. You want to hit that button. You go to Wheel of Fortune. You want to spin it. Just watching it, you can almost tell how heavy it is, how you would spin it, what manner you would spin it.
But the way other people are doing it.
Yeah, just watching it, I have some spatial awareness about how I think I would spin those two wheels, the Price is Right wheel, the Wheel of Fortune wheel. But anyway, whatever. We're getting way off base here. Listen, today, Chrissy and I are on vacation, meaning when you're listening to this, we are on vacation. So we are not talking about anything too timely or topical. We are just going to give you the goods. We had a nice young gentleman, and I mean young gentleman. He admits he's a kid. And I said, "I don't want to get in trouble for texting a kid. So, you know, I hope you're at, so don't say anything that could get me in trouble."
He'll be on To Catch a Predator. Yeah.
His name is Kylan. He had to tell me how to say it. I want to make sure I got it right. His name is Kylan. He texted and he said, "Hey, is this TCB? Let me share with you. The string
like
of text
name, by the way, Kylan.
Yeah, it's a cool name. It says, "Is this commercial break? Anyway, if it is, I'm craving more Mountain Monsters, Frankie B, or also more pickup artists." And I said, "Yeah, this is TCB. It's been almost 9 months since Frankie did a video where I do more Mountain Monsters. I'll get you one out the door soon." And he says, "This is Kylan, but it says my mom's name because it's my mom's account." Now, at first I thought, you know, it's 2025. There's a lot of 30-year-olds who are still using their mom's phone account, right? I just, and no judgment there. I just thought that's what it was.
Grandfathered into the plan.
That's right. But then he explains, I said, and he goes, "You feel free to use my name if you want to on air." I said, "Yeah, of course, I'll shout you out, but you got to give me some more information about you. What do you do? What, you know, what's your thing?" And he goes, "Well, does school count as a job? I'm just a kid." And I was like, so I go automatically into dad mode, and I'm like, what did I say to him? I go, "School's definitely your job. Get through at least high school, and then the world is your oyster. You can do whatever you do. You do whatever you want. Choose your own adventure." Do I sound like your dad yet? I mean, I'm on like dad mode right now. So Kylan says, "Pickup artist, Mountain Monsters, or Frankie B." Well, there's no more Frankie B. I haven't found any new Frankie B information that we haven't already done. There's one or two videos out there. I'm keeping them in my back pocket for a rainy day. Mountain Monsters, we just did.
Yeah.
But I have been saving something for just this occasion, for when someone asks, "Can you do a pickup artist?" And we'll get to it after this.
Sounds good.
"You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hi, cats and kittens. Rachel here. Do you ever get the urge to speak endlessly into the void, like Brian? Well, I've got just the place for you to do that. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Feel free to call and yell all you want. Tell Brian I need a raise. Compliment Chrissy's innate ability to put up with all his shenanigans. Or tell us a little story. The juicier, the better, by the way. We love to hear your voice, because Lord knows we're done listening to ourselves. Also, give us a follow on your favorite socials, at The Commercial Break on Insta, TCB Podcast on TikTok. And for those of you who like to watch, oh, that came out wrong, we put all the episodes out on video, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, and tcbpodcast.com for all the info on the show, your free sticker, or just to see how pretty we look. Okay, I gotta go now. I've got a date with my dog. No, seriously, Axel needs food. Today is pork chop day.
The 21 convention has brought us some of our most illustrious content, Chrissy.
Oh, it's a wealth of douchebaggery.
It's a deep pool of douchebaggery. That's well said, my friend. The 21 convention is a short-lived convention that would happen in Orlando every year to showcase the world's...
The best and the brightest.
Yes, the smallest penises available to... to the women in the general Orlando area. And you'd, if you were female, you'd probably want to be out of the Orlando area when the 21 convention was going on, because it was just pickup artists. And then it turned MAGA for a while there. It seemed like all they wanted to do was promote this new version of masculinity. Fine, if you're into that, cool. But one of the guys who we've been following long, I think, before we found 21 convention was Adam the Lion. Adam the Liar Lyons.
Well, we called him the Liar.
We called him the Liar.
Yeah.
Now, he has reinvented himself many times. He's been an SEO expert, a social media expert. He's been a branding expert. He's been a pickup artist. He was a polyamory artist. He was
that's right.
sleeping with, and he had a throuple going on there for a while. He reinvented himself as a life coach. This is the opposite of whatever Ryan Seacrest did. Adam, Adam the Liar.
He followed the opposite path.
He decided to be as unfamily friendly and non-consistent as possible. And you got to give the guy credit, at least. He's trying. He's desperately trying to follow the trends. Usually three steps behind. Can't fault him for that. So is the commercial break. Yeah. But he's just one of these characters that you can't get enough of. I can't get enough of, like Frankie B or Teresa Caputo. Adam has a soft spot in my heart because he is such an idiot. I mean, honestly, that's the only way to say it. He's such an idiot. Adam, for the 21 convention, apparently years ago, he had produced, I think this is a biopic produced and directed by Adam Lyons himself. And they posted it on the 21 convention website years ago. This looks like it was made 10 or 15 years ago, because Adam is, he just looks very young in this, and his hair is pink, and I don't even know. But this is not a documentary, despite what Adam may call it. It's not a document.
It's
you can't
not,
film
it's not like the new Dylan documentary.
No, it's not like the new Dylan biopic starring Timothy Chalamet. Adam here is a student pickup artist. Use caution. He is trying to, you can't just film yourself and call it a documentary. That doesn't make much sense. I was watching The Last Waltz last night. I couldn't sleep. It's one of the best documentaries
really
ever
is.
Made. Certainly the best music documentary, maybe the best music film ever made. But it was filmed by one of the best directors
Scorsese.
Of all time, and produced by Bill Graham and a bunch of others. This wasn't like the band got together and decided to film themselves and put it out, which they could have done, but you can't call that a documentary. You just call that, I just filmed myself. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I don't want to get into the minutiae of what we're calling it. I just want to hear what he has to say. Now, I've watched very little of this, so we're going to go on this journey together,
Chrissy.
Cold. That's how I like to do it here at the commercial break. Raw dog, Adam Lyons.
The community is AFC Adam. I have so many different ambitions and things that I want to be doing in life.
And you have tried them all, my friend.
Yes, yes.
Where are you, a peacock? Is he a cockatoo? He's in a tropical location somewhere, probably the Villages in Florida, where Chrissy and I are going to retire.
Yeah. There's a palm tree in the background.
Yeah. Doesn't that look like a Margaritaville to you?
I have not.
It looks like a Margaritaville. But he fits right in with that cockatoo hair.
Yeah. It's jet black, but then with a splash of spiky pink.
Imagine cockatoo red.
Well, actually, I can see it in the back of his head, too. Look at the back of his nape of his neck.
Oh, yeah.
It must go all the way
down. That's right.
Down.
He's peacocking around.
Uh-huh.
He's peacocking around the bar.
A pink mohawk
thing. That's what they do. That's what mystery taught him. You got to get out there and show your colors.
Your stuff.
That's right.
Beyond just pickup and stuff like that. I'm known as being a geek, and not only was I always a geek, I still am a massive geek. So some of the things I want.
Well, you didn't have to say that out. You didn't have to say it out loud, but okay.
To do is obviously I want to make an independent horror film. Start off with maybe a small film. We'll build it up from there. But I've also got an
horror film.
I think he's made plenty of them. I think they're all over the internet. I think he's accomplished that goal.
He did.
Like how to pick up a woman in 10 minutes or less.
Ambitions to, I've started sword fighting again. So I've been doing.
I bet you've been sword fighting for a long time, Adam.
Actually, my live action role playing where you like dress up in costume and sword fight people. So I've been doing that again, and I'm looking to maybe put on some kind of small event like that. I'm just following the road to see where it takes me.
There's title cards in between sections here, and this one is like a duck to water.
The big thing that got me into the community was I realized that one of the girls that I was kind of dating, I'd had four relationships prior to learning game. One of the
learning game. Once I learned game, I turned into a Jedi master of a Jedi master of pink cockatoo hair and role playing. Nothing says fuck me like being in a park dressed up like a medieval swordsman.
Relationship's the last one that I was in. I found out that not only had she been seeing a whole bunch of guys behind my back, but when I confronted her with it and we broke up, she ended up stealing all of the belongings from my house, my PlayStation, my PC, my my video games, absolutely everything she could take, she did, leaving my house completely barren. I think I've still got the photograph somewhere of how...
The photographs? You have photographs of your empty apartment?
That's for police purposes.
Yeah, sure, why not?
She kind of left my room. And about 6 months earlier, one of my friends had handed me his book called The Game. And he said to me, he said, Adam, this book is designed for you. He said, you don't realize it yet? He goes, but you were supposed to do this. He goes, and I know when you do this, you're going to take to it like a duck to water. And I kind of threw it on a back shelf and ignored it.
Ah, that kind of reminds me of that scene in The Matrix where he goes to the Oracle and they ask him, like he's guided to the Oracle. You must go talk to the Oracle.
Yeah, you were meant to do this.
Every good Genesis story of some of the most, some of the people who changed our world starts with an Oracle. There's someone who sees something in you that you don't see in yourself, like my wife. Shut up and do it on a microphone.
But it was one of the things she didn't take. And so I sort of opened up the book, started reading.
It's one thing she didn't take.
The book, The Game.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Signed up on a course, and that was the start.
I'm picturing him just like rolling around like a empty, you know, like when you go first move into an apartment and it's empty.
Yeah. Yeah, and you sleep on the floor maybe while you're waiting for the bed.
It's just carpeted, and he's got this book.
Yeah, I imagine like Takis. empty bags and Mountain Dew soda cans all around. There's
swords.
The game staring at him. In the movie, whoever plays him, it's got to, you know, I would imagine Ryan Felipe or Timothy Chalamet or whoever. I can see, like, he's in this scene where it's all dark and he's crying.
Denzel gives him the book.
Denzel gives him the book. You were meant to do this. Don't fret, bro. Read it. Neil Strauss.
Okay.
The famous composer?
I mean, Neil Strauss is obviously a big inspiration.
Oh, no, the pickup artist, Neil Strauss. Okay, I got it.
To me because of reading The Game, and he was kind of like my first supposed to look into the community. But I actually got to meet Neil Strauss quite soon afterwards, which was really great. He's a really nice guy, really genuine. And I suppose he made me realize that a lot of the misconceptions...
Look at all these people walking behind him.
Know,
I'm wondering
kind
if they
of a
know.
Strange setup here.
I think they're at a mall in Florida. But I wonder if they know how close to greatness they are. Have you ever been somewhere and then later on you see pictures like at a concert or, I don't know, you've never been to Disney World, but like Disney World.
I've been to
or,
Disney World.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you'd never been.
No, I've been once.
Oh, okay.
No, well, twice.
There's a couple times I've been to Disney World and then I'll be in one of those, you know, Disney adult groups for people like me who have mental problems. And then they'll be like, oh, did you see so-and-so on this particular day? And it happens a famous person was there when I was there. But how would I have known?
Like Obama passing in the background of those people's pictures.
Yes. DC. Eddie Vedder and my dad's Chicago picture. Yeah, stuff like that. I wonder if they know how close they are to greatness.
About some of the top pickup artists were actually a lot of hearsay, and a lot of it didn't hold true because when I met Neil in person, he was very different to the kind of image that I had kind of been led to perceive by the majority of the people in the community.
So what do you? So I don't understand that. Okay, here's the next title card.
He was
card.
Just saying how great it was to meet Neil.
Uh-huh, Neil's great. Okay, Journey Through the Game. Here's our next title card. Here's our next PowerPoint slide.
With regards to my own journey through the game, there was definitely mixed, sort of like good points about meeting some of the top gurus, and definitely some negative sides. I had a lot of conceptions that
negative. I never seemed to get laid when they were around. Positive. I got a free book.
Some of these pickup guys were absolutely untouchable. They could do whatever they wanted when it came to women. And some of my aspirations to kind of like to maybe be as good as Neil Strauss and be able to get any woman I want. When I actually met him, I realized actually he's very down to earth. You know, he's kind of hit and miss, kind of just like everybody else. But still a very cool, fun, down to earth guy who wasn't, you know, too proud of himself or too up his own rectum, should we say. Whereas
So what you're saying is it's all bullshit, Adam. That's what you're saying.
Some other people that I met who not only weren't as good as they were trying to prove that they were, but they actually we're kind of trying to force that idea on people that they were amazing, that they really could pick up absolutely everybody they wanted. And it was a shame because if they just accepted they could fail sometimes, it might make it a lot easier to maybe relate to them and to believe half the things they were saying.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Lowest point in his journey is the next title slide.
Lowest point for me in my journey in the game was actually probably the point where everybody else was looking up to me the most. It was the point where I had...
It was the point where I was the most famous, Chrissy. High on cocaine in the Caesar's Palace, presidential suite, bottles of champagne, tits flying from one end of the room to the other, literally vagina raining from the sky. And I looked, and there was that book staring back at me, the game. And I said, I've got to read it again.
I got to get back to my roots.
Yeah, I got to get back to my roots. I've strayed too far. Neil Strauss once said, it's all bullshit, kid. And then the hooker bill came.
14 different girlfriends.
14. I had
14 different girlfriends. He just said he hates when his pickup artist guru, the people he looked up to, make it sound like they're all that. And now he's doing 14, it himself. 14.
On.
Give me a break.
Some of the most beautiful women throwing themselves at me. I would walk into a night.
What is it?
It's Peacock Adams. Get him.
He's about to say, I walk into a nightclub.
I walk into a nightclub and literally can't move without my boner being licked.
Club in London. 250 girls walk in the door with me. I literally.
Now, this is where we get around the time of when we gave him the liar.
Here comes the liar. Here comes the liar part of Adam. I was almost
a nightclub in London.
Yes.
I'm walking in with 250 girls.
I've been to
14
London.
Of them are my girlfriends.
I don't know how many clubs in London fit 250 people, let alone you and 250 girls. I was almost thinking like, oh, Adam, you know, he can without all the hype and hyperbole, he can did work.
Probably at the top of my game. And I realized I wasn't happy. I was unfulfilled. I didn't enjoy life. I realized I didn't have to work for anything. Women would just throw themselves at me. I was at the lowest point of self-motivation in my life. I had guys that wanted to be like me, and I was actively looking at them being like, why do you want this? This isn't fun. This isn't fun.
All this woman, all this sex, all these drugs. I don't have to work for anything. I'm a millionaire just thinking about it. I don't understand why you want to be like me. I am going to work at McDonald's tomorrow. And I will not have a date on Friday. Back, I'm a man of the people.
Happy. And the turning point for that for me, the point where suddenly everything became happy and enjoyable was really when I realized that I wanted just one girl and I wanted to settle down. And I think anybody that says...
Boing.
They really do just want a whole bunch of different random girls that I don't think they've really experienced the pinnacle of that. Because when you really have that, when you really
the
have a
pinnacle of pussy, Chrissy, I don't think you've realized the pinnacle of Putang.
Oh,
if you realize the pinnacle of Putang like I have, like having 380,000 women in your bed at one time, then you realize it really doesn't make you happy to have so many beautiful, naked women around you when you're
unfulfilling.
A heterosexual, single male. It's unfulfilling, Chrissy.
Lifestyle where women are throwing themselves at you. Johnny Wolf from the Peewee Summit. Actually,
how many times can you put in the words women throwing themselves at you men. In one segment of your own documentary?
He just mentioned somebody with the Peewee Summit.
Oh, yeah, the Peewee Summit. Yeah, it's all the rage with the peas.
To see how true this was, and I've got a testimonial where he saw me throwing women out of my bedroom who were begging to come in there to have sex with me.
I've got a testimonial.
Oh, my God. I've got a testimonial from a guy who saw women getting kicked out of my bedroom who were trying to have sex with me at the good old Peewee Summit, the summit no one heard of or has gone to.
I have a testimonial.
Oh, the Peewee Summit.
And that was the lifestyle I was living, and it wasn't fulfilling.
And then David D'Angelo came in? D'Angelo. David D'Angelo. Here's the Oracle coming back into his life.
David D'Angelo was a guy whose name I'd heard mentioned a lot throughout my journeys in the community, but I'd never actually bought any of his products or read anything of his. And it was only actually quite recently, although I was kind of familiar with some of his concepts like cocky funny, it was only very recently that I actually...
Cocky funny? Cocky funny.
The concept of cocky funny.
The concept of dyeing your hair pink, going to the P-wave, and cock-a-doodle-dooing your way all the way through. Cock-a-doodle-doo! Get out of my bedroom, beautiful naked women. I don't want you.
Yeah, got to find out more.
Hey, take notes. I want a testimonial later.
You see what's happening here?
Where are those pictures of my empty bedroom?
About him when he interviewed me for his interview series, and I got a call from some of the people in his camp saying, hey, David D'Angelo would like to interview you, and I kind of got to speak to him firsthand.
I don't even have a camp. Where's a camp? I hate when people say that.
I know.
Hey, some people in my camp are going to get back to you. Oh, really? Some people in your camp. I've been to an actual camp. It's no fun.
And the guy's an absolute genius. I mean, not just what he knows about pickup, but what he knows about life in general and about business and marketing. He's a very genuine individual. And I learned a lot just from a half-hour phone call.
I've met so many genuine people who know a lot about business and marketing.
Exactly.
And pickup artistry. That, those three combinations say sincere and real. Negative outlook of the community.
Okay.
Now
there are definitely some
real
people out there that have a negative outlook on the community.
You don't say.
Why?
I wonder why.
I can't imagine why.
I can't imagine why. You just said you walked into a club with 250 women, kicked a bunch of naked girls out of your bedroom because you didn't want to have sex with them. That wasn't fulfilling. And you're expecting people to look on this and go, he's such a redeemed guy. This is worse than Carl Lentz. I'm sorry.
And I think that any time I've ever come across that, it's usually the person doesn't actually fully understand what the community is. For me specifically, and I think really that's what the community is, it's always a personal choice of how you view it. I've always viewed the community as a male self-help group. It's a bunch of guys that are firstly admitting they have a problem and they can't meet girls, and secondly, they're willing to do whatever it takes to get there. And yeah, different people have...
It's like AAP. It's PAP, Pussy Anonymous.
Different journeys. Some, it's maybe a bit more aggressive. Some, it may not be a pleasant experience. But I think on the whole, for most, it's a really good positive experience that they come out the other side of it with a better understanding of women.
And a bunch of books.
And a bunch of books. And a bunch of credit card bills. Yeah. And a bunch of monthly subscriptions. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of phone calls with John Anthony Lifestyle.
I think one of the main reasons...
Underground.
Yeah, underground just popped up on the screen.
Now we're getting into the good stuff. This is secret stuff they won't tell you anywhere else, kids. Get out your pencils. You're going to need to write a testimonial later.
The community is taboo or is seen as being secretive and underground and maybe a little bit manipulative is specifically because us guys are kind of scared of letting the girls know what we're doing. There are so many people that hide behind false names, hide behind online stories. Whereas in reality, you can kind of come out and tell the truth. I mean, Cosmopolitan and FHM, they're full of true life stories, things that have actually happened to me. There's nothing wrong with accepting.
Oh, Cosmopolitan is full of true life stories about you?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know this. Yeah, I did not know he was in
Cosmo.
Oh, okay. Yep. Probably not in the good part of Cosmo.
FHM,
the now defunct girly mag.
One of my biggest signs for whether a guy actually is comfortable with what they're doing, and in my opinion, really should be giving out and giving this advice, is based on how comfortable they are, A, being seen by people to be doing what they're doing, and B, being comfortable with their name being put to it.
Well, I can understand
well,
that one.
I know,
that one feels like...
Everybody knows me. I'm out in the open. I've made mistakes. I've done some things that are amazing, but I've done all of it open. Everyone found out about my girlfriend before I got with her. I told him what I was going to do. I told him before what? I was going to propose.
How did they find out about your girlfriend before you even got with her?
I don't know.
It was an amazing story, Adam, you're telling right now. This takes lying to a whole new level, by the way.
Post, they've seen the whole thing. They saw it out there on the...
This guy just walked behind him like...
Some dude just photobombed big time. He just walked directly behind him. I'm not saying like 10 feet behind him.
No, like right
inches behind
yeah.
him. Yeah. Adam doesn't miss a beat.
And could have gone wrong. Maybe something would have happened. Would my name have been ruined? Who knows? But
that's really funny.
That's awesome.
Point is, I was brave enough to stand by it and do it.
Brave enough to stand behind what?
Getting a girlfriend?
I need to know more
Speaking
about that.
The
Speaking
truth.
The truth. That's a hard one for Adam.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest reasons that I think that I've been so successful is this. is not only have I been really open and told everyone what's going on, but I've also tried my best to be as truthful as possible.
Yeah, you might need to try harder.
Yeah, I think you got a skewed definition of what the truth is.
Literally, even if it completely pains me, come out there and try and speak the complete truth. And what I love is so many people don't even believe it. They're like, there's no way that Adam can just come out and tell the truth. And yet I do.
We're in that camp.
We're in that camp. Have your camp
there's
call
no
my
way,
camp.
There's no way Adam can speak the truth.
By the way. Wow, this is something right out of the DJT playbook. If they don't believe you, they just don't believe you have the ability to tell the truth. They, in fact, are just not understanding that you are being so truthful, it doesn't sound like the truth.
And I find that's the only way to be completely congruent is to not only be open, but to also be truthful. And that way you can, people see you for who you are, and then you only get judged accordingly.
Oh, we see you for who you are, Adam.
Turning point.
There's a turning point in every story, Chrissy. Yes.
From my personal point of view, with regards to where I sit in the community, I've always associated myself as a pickup artist because I wanted to go out there and I wanted to pick up chicks and end up dating them. Up until the point I got married. The point I got married was a definite turning
point. Wait, what? Oh. I didn't know you were married.
Yeah, I don't think it lasted.
Yeah, no, I don't think it did either. I wonder why.
No longer a pickup artist. I mean, it's great that I still get, you know, perceived as one, and there's no way I'm leaving the community. I'm going to keep helping guys out as much as possible. But, you know, I'm not out there to pick up chicks. And as much as I'm going to help other people do that, I kind of see myself as somebody who trains other people to be pickup artists rather than being a pickup artist myself. And I'm definitely starting to identify more with being a dating coach and looking at helping people with things beyond just picking up, things, how to handle a date.
I'm definitely looking for my next grift. This one's getting a little boring, and now that I'm married, guys don't want to talk to me. I think after you get married, being a pickup artist is probably not something you can do. Like, I don't know.
For many reasons.
That's like eating with a skinny chef. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't do it.
How to handle a relationship. Things that I genuinely feel that I'm starting to gain a much stronger experience based on than a lot of other pickup artists who kind of meet a girl, move on to the next girl and concentrate on things like instant lays and how to have one night stands. For me, it's
instant
much more about
lays.
We call it ILs in the community, Chrissy. You got to get in there and get a bunch of ILs.
Instant lay.
IL, baby, IL.
Oh,
oh, yes. An instant lay. That means you walk into the bar, instantly boom. Laid. Boom. Vagina, dick, meat, boom, explosions everywhere, clean up aisle 3 and you're out, 249 left to go. You know what I'm saying, Chrissy?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Can you prolong that? How can you ideally meet the person you want to be with and stay with them forever?
No.
I don't know. I don't know, but maybe he'll explain it to us in the next segment. Let's take a break and we'll be back.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
All right, we just learned that Adam is in fact, or was in fact, married for a brief period of time, 2009 to 2013, longer than my first marriage.
Yeah,
but anyway,
yeah.
all right, settle down. Teaching Relationships,
okay.
Our next title card here.
2 years ago, there is absolutely no way that I would have considered myself as somebody qualified enough to teach relationships. I purposely haven't. Even though I was dating at the time, I wanted to make sure that I was coming down on it with a point of authority. I don't think you can talk about relationships until you've been married and seen it right through to the end. And you know, I'm still
foreshadowing.
Wow. Well, you took it to the end. Yep. It ended 4 short years later.
You in my marriage, I'm still not in a position. You're not going to find me coming out of any kind of marriage product anytime soon. I want the experience and the wealth of knowledge before
marriage
I teach about
product. the perfect woman.
It's really hard for me to work out whether my personal journey through this and coming to the conclusion of one perfect woman being for me is what everybody wants. But I truthfully believe that for me, for my own journey, from somebody who did have that, and people have seen my journey, they've seen the phases where I didn't have any girls in my life. They've seen me learn. They've seen me go through it. It's been documented how I went from somebody who wanted to get a lot of girls to somebody who succeeded. I ran projectentourage.com, one of the largest club hosting companies in London.
Oh, humble bragging all the way to
Project
success.
Project Entourage.
Project Entourage, Chrissy. It's been well documented, my journey to pussy success. Anybody who documents their journey to pick up artist success is just, might have something wrong with them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying everybody is the same, and I'm not saying all quote unquote dating coaches, which is a big word that includes a lot of different types of men and women. I'm not saying all of them are bad. Sometimes maybe you feel like you need somebody to give you a pep talk or something like that. But this guy, no way. No.
I had those women in my life. They're still on my Facebook.
Check out my Facebook, adamlyons.com.
I achieved that. And I know that for me specifically, I definitely wanted that one. I speculate, I hypothesize that that's the same for every other guy. But unfortunately, this is a case study of just one guy. And from there, I can't judge any further than that.
Thanks for bringing that clear. You're so scientific in your methods, Adam. So scientific.
Yeah, I mean, he really is just answering his own
stuff. Questions.
Right, yeah. There's nobody asking him this.
No, no one's asking him this. These title cards were made backwards. He came up with his own questions. He's giving his own answers. This is all just spoon-fed.
At a mall in Florida.
Yeah, at an outdoor mall in Florida where he's just giving himself a reason to humble brag about all the stuff he's done. The feminization of America. Here we go. Here we go. I'm going to hate on the women I so desperately need.
To people who view that perhaps the male population of the world has become feminized and what we've allowed that women to kind of like take over, I really just see that as part of the balance in the sexes. I think that we definitely lived in a very male patriarchal society where males are very much dominating things. And I think that now as we've...
Wait, Chrissy. Might we agree with something Adam has to say?
So. But to reintroduce that balance, I think guys don't really know
wait
their place.
Wait for it.
He's going to fuck it up somehow. Yeah.
I think they've never really known how to maintain a balance because they've always used to being in a position of power. And I think that's definitely created some sort of imbalance. And I do think that the community is a splinter off that's kind of evolved from that need for men to realize how to maintain that balance.
Yeah, and it really splintered straight off into 21 convention.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, somehow 21 convention was the way we splintered off.
When you learn pickup artistry, when you get good at it, really all you do is become a little bit more female. With this...
Okay. All right. Not sure how
putting
that works.
Maybe in the woman's shoes?
Maybe. But I don't think I agree with that particular statement. But okay. I was with you all the way up until there.
Balance that's happened with us trying to maintain a balance between the sexes, there's now become an imbalance specifically in men and also in women in how people should behave, what our roles should be. And I think what we're going to see is a consistent change. And there'll be some kind of equilibrium that sets, and that will constantly be at battle. I mean, at the end of the day, the war between the sexes is one that will never end, hopefully, because if it ever does, that will mean the, you know, the loss for all of us.
What?
I don't even understand what that means. No. War ends, we all lose. You know what I'm saying, Chrissy?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Yeah, we're to fight each other to the
imbalance,
death.
And then there's a war, and then we lose.
Snake charmers.
That's
snake
the
charmers.
There were definitely a bunch of people when they first started the community that were seen as snake charmers. There were definitely people that I believe don't have the skill to pull off what they've got. I'm not the kind of person that goes around and drops names on people, but I can say I know for a fact.
Oh, yeah, you're not dropping any kind.
No. Yeah, you're not dropping any kind.
No.
You're not one to humble brag. Mm-hmm. You're not one to say anything too ostentatious out loud. Just say the names, Adam, so that we can find their videos.
Some guys that are charging $3,000 for a course, sometimes even more.
Michael Anthony Lifestyle. Johnny Anthony Lifestyle, sorry.
I've had sex themselves with less than 10 girls. People that come to me and say, Adam, how do you do it? How do you maintain a relationship? Every girl I ever get just breaks up with me and all I want to do is settle down with one. And then they go out and preach how it's important to have multiple girls and you shouldn't just stick with one. And it pains me. It pains me to hear it. And I know there are people that would love me to come out and point the finger at those people.
Me.
But unfortunately, if I do that, they're only going to point one right back and try and make up falsehoods. Because if they're happy to lie about how great they are, they're going to be happy to lie at how bad other people are. So I've got this whole philosophy. It comes from my game and it comes from everything. I try and add value to as many people as possible. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to help as many people as I can.
By adding value, I mean dropping seed in your uterus. Oh, yeah.
Literally, person by person, I'm going to prove that this does work.
Literally, woman by woman, I'm on a mission to seed the entire world. Literally, literally.
And that we can help people.
We can help
people. Oh, we can help.
Oh, my God.
You, Mother Teresa. Let go of the old chicks. Get the new chicks.
The only thing that's ever pissed me off about the community, the only thing that's really got under my skin, is a lot of the old issues being drug across to the current things. When we first started doing our boot camps and I first started running them, I was running them back in 2006. My early boot camps were nowhere near the quality that they are now. My boot camps in 2008 are completely different to how they are in 2009. I'm constantly evolving and changing.
Oh, so three short years later, the quality has improved. Mm-hmm. 10x, Chrissy. Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing that in my students' results, in the testimonials that I'm getting. We're getting more and more people with success. I think the one thing that pisses me off is as soon as somebody has one bad experience from the past, they definitely try and translate that. So if they do a really bad boot camp with one of our competitors, they'll suddenly assume that all future boot camps with everybody else, whether they've done one or not, is bad. And even if they...
Boot camps. Bump that penis! Bump that penis! Thrust! 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 Peacock! Peacock! Peacock!
One, two.
One! Lean against the wall! Stare up and down! Don't talk! No words! She'll come to you, soldier! Put that boner down! Not yet! More peacock! 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 Get her into your room. Low lighting, loud music. Let's go, let's go, let's go. You're getting laid this weekend. Yes, sir. I can't hear you. Instantly. I don't know what they may say. I don't know what they may say. Going for nothing but an instantly. Sound off. Hard dick. Sound off.
Peacock.
Had perhaps a less than perfect experience for myself, then they aren't willing to come again.
Adam,
or they aren't willing
I'm trying to think about this because we have reviewed so many of these. Adam, was Adam the one was or he was like in his apartment?
Yes.
And he was talking about the girl.
Yes, the low lighting.
And he had sex with. And then
he was the one who told us how he brought home a girl and he had the lighting. He like flipped on. He had a light setting that was setting the mood and a playlist. Music, he definitely had a playlist for getting laid. And it was like a 2-hour cab ride or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Been completely for free to see the improvements that have happened. I know as Anti's done with the 21 convention with regards to renaming it and rebranding it and going about changing things, we're constantly doing that with our own boot camps. The results we're getting now are better than ever. And, you know, I just wish sometimes I could go out
there. This is basically a sales pitch for his boot camps. Yes. He has a lot of bad press out there, and he's trying to tell you that it's other people's boot camps, not my boot camps.
Right.
People that think that it doesn't work, drag them out there, give them a completely freebie, and just show them how much difference we can really make to people.
This, he's got that used car salesperson smile at the end of everything he says. Politics and money. Uh-oh.
There is definitely political siding and conflict and sort of like a background subterfuge that goes on around the community with the corporates definitely trying to take things for themselves to generate as much profit as possible.
Which corporations are in on the pickup artist business? 21 convention? The people you're doing the video for right now?
However, I think you're going to find that in any industry anywhere in the world. I've worked in public relations, I've worked in marketing, I've worked in the movie industry, I've worked in television, and all of these places.
The movie industry? The porn movie industry? Which movie industry?
This had their own different political intrigue that was going on. It's just what happens when you mix money.
What?
The different branches of the community.
I genuinely feel that the community itself has always had a number of different branches. There's definitely been people that are very much more about improving your lifestyle and trying to help you with that side of things. And there are definitely those that are always going to be talking about magic tricks and routines and kind of like the number one line that's going to guarantee to get any girl to want you.
Mystery. Notice the guy in the background waving?
I know, hand motion.
Yeah, he's 70-year-old. He wants to get in. He sees Adam. He's like, I took your course last week.
And I think that's just how it is. It splinters in different ways. We're always going to see that separation. There'll be new types of pickup methodology that we can't even imagine right now. I heard there's a guy who's specializing in Halloween game. Everyone's creating their
Halloween
own different niche.
Riches in the niches, bitches. That's right. Halloween game. Take my course that only works one night a year. Put on a mask. Peacock. Halloween game. Ooh, I have to know. Now I have to know. Where can we find the Halloween game video? I want to know.
He's within it.
That only works one night a year.
Put on a mask. Pretend you're not you. independent versus corporate. Okay. Uh-oh. Here's where it all falls apart. It's always a Walmart of pickup artists coming in to squash the little guy.
That's right.
The mom and pop pussy game gets squashed by big pussy. Big pussy edging
big
in on
oil.
I've seen a lot of different types of guys within the community. I've seen the core big companies, and I've seen a lot of the independent movement. Within London, when I first started coming out to it, I was one of the independents. I was one of the first guys that came out of it. From my honest experience...
I rose up
through the independent ladder. Like Allison Chains in the early days of Seattle grunge rock scene. Yeah.
He was one
of the first independents. No selling out here, bro. You won't find any John Anthony lifestyle banners at my boot camp. No siree, Bob. Stay free.
The independent guys have a shelf life. There's only so long they can maintain it because there is so much bulk of work that has to be done.
Well, I think that's true of any guy. There's only so long we can maintain it. You know what I mean?
That eventually it starts to wear on you. You need to kind of take that relaxed lifestyle. Now, I know some of them have managed to survive that by living certain times, sort of parts of the year in a different part of the world that's a lot cheaper to live, coming into more affluent areas and using that to help them survive. I know some of my good friends do that by living in Thailand and working in Los Angeles. But I think in reality, if you're looking at this career, if you're looking at it long-term, you need that infrastructure. You do need support of a big company. It was definitely a decision that I came to after being an independent for a good couple of years. Having a big company behind you.
What big company is supporting pickup artists? I think he means the 21 convention.
I think so too.
I think that's.
Yeah. And like, I guess people that maybe take, he's talking about infrastructure. I mean, I guess people that take the calls and book the appointments.
Yeah. And lead you to the right dating coach, quote unquote. I mean, they're really the Apple of the pickup artist community. If you're going to survive in this community, I just find it sad that people have to live in Thailand all year long on the beach and then come to Los Angeles to teach me how to pick up women on Halloween.
One night only.
I specialize in the Easter game. Hop around like a bunny.
Definitely helps. If only with advertising, marketing, and having a receptionist to answer emails. There's definitely a tipping point where you can only have so much success without bothering to set up the infrastructure. And everyone's seen it. When you're an independent, when you start making that that much money, when you start growing, you have to set the infrastructure up and become a corporate. And
everyone's
if you don't, what happens is
it.
You end up with upset clients.
Everyone's seen it. Everyone knows about that tipping point when you've got too much patootie tang to
and
deal
money.
With. And money. It's literally flowing out of your ears.
And your name ends up falling apart. And you see the rise of the fall of these independents all the time. The average independent lasts maybe a year or 2 years before everything starts to
How do you know that? What are those stats, the average independent?
1 year.
Acting like this is like some well-worn industry. It's very much the Wild West as far as I can tell. I don't know because I'm not a dating coach or a pickup artist or whatever.
Or in the market for
one. But it seems like put your videos on YouTube. Hope that people call your phone number and order your course. And if they do, you'll make money. And if they don't, you won't. And he's right about one thing. Any small business has its toils and troubles. And, you know, as an independent podcast, you know, it's like you have your ups, you have your downs. You go with a network because they have the people who can sell your business, right? I mean, I get what he's saying, but I just don't see the pickup artist business being that big that it would sustain big corporate. When he's saying big corporate... He really makes it sound like there's a Walmart of pickup artists out there.
Well, unless they set up an infrastructure, and then what happens is you just have a new corporate set up. I think Miha was a great example of that. He was an independent that splintered off, and then he went corporate. He had to, because in order to sustain
the... Miha? I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to leave that one up.
Yeah.
Miha!
Kind of size that he was getting, he needed the corporate infrastructure to keep it alive.
Okay, one more. Ever-changing community.
I personally feel that the community is an ever-changing construct. And I don't think it's...
It's a living organism, Chrissy. It breathes on its own.
Either aligned good or bad. I think that realistically, the community is always going to change. It'll have its ups. There'll be media stories where you know we're portrayed in a bad light. And then every so often, you'll have it where it goes the other way completely. And it
No. Never seen a...
No.
Never seen public sentiment moving toward... Well, there was that time that VH1 had Mystery had his own show.
That's right.
But that was the whiz-bang 90s, mm-hmm. when a lot of things were different. We do dating shows from the 90s all the time. Things were just different back then. I think pickup artists generally are seen in a negative light because of the things that they say, not because they're victims of their own success, but because they're victims of their own dumb ideology.
Gifts, and suddenly the pickup community will be dating coaches, helping out the poor guy who's a virgin. It's always going to shift around. It's always going to be moved around. And realistically, the media are going to control how people see it. At the end of the day, I try and do things one student at a time, helping as many people as I can.
One hard cock at a time,
yeah,
Chrissy.
One lonely virgin
one
at a time.
Boner at a time. All right.
Oh, Adam.
Oh, Adam. There's like 10 more minutes to go, but I don't think I can hear Adam talk anymore.
Himself?
No, not to himself. His own soliloquy about himself and all the wonderful things he's done, but how he's a changed man now. And look at that dumb grin on his face. Look at that dumb grin on his face. He really does look like a clown. Oh, man. Oh, we already have had feedback about the 12 hours of TCB, and some people are questioning our sanity. Yes.
So are we.
Yes, we are. No doubt about it. But
it is mental health awareness.
So we're going to put ours to the test. We'll see how it goes. We'll share more about the minutia, but don't worry about us. We've set this up in a way that I think we're going to be okay. 12 hours of TCB, May 31st. That's a Saturday. So if you choose to keep up with it, you can. And I don't think there's any major sporting events. I don't know, but I checked and it doesn't look like it.
It's the weekend after.
It's baseball. Memorial Day. That's right. So have your fun and then, you know, get some popcorn. Get some popcorn. Put your earmuffs on, kids. 12 hours of TCB starting at 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We'll be releasing an episode every hour on the hour or as close to it as I can possibly edit. And then we will be doing also live recording too, meaning we'll record and you'll be able to tune in and watch us record. So you'll be able to hear it just a little bit early. Lots more details on that in coordination with our good friends at Central Talent Booking, Odyssey, Covert Creative, Weplash Design and Video Production Firm, and quite frankly, us, the commercial break. So there you go.
Brian and Chris.
Okay, so lots more information coming up about that. Stay tuned. Next week, you want to be on the commercial break, call us, 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3TCB, between the hours of 12 and 2:30 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, 15th, 16th, 17th, or 14th, 15th, 16th, call us, and we may answer the phone at the commercial break on Instagram, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for all of the episodes the same day they air here on the audio feed. TCBpodcast.com, your free sticker, and all the audio and video. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best you.
Best to you.
And best you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
I get back.